You're listening to Illinois Edition. I'm Peter Gray, and joining me in the studio is the mayor of Springfield, Mike Houston. Mayor Houston, welcome to the show, and thank you for joining us on the air. And I wanted to start by asking you for an update from your perspective on where things stand with the lawsuit that has been filed by Mr. Christian. I understand that there are a series of depositions taking place. What can you share with our listeners about that?
Well, as you indicate, there have been depositions that have been taken. The process is that there are a number of people that are being deposed, and that eventually I anticipate, unless there would be some type of out-of-court settlement, which I would think is very doubtful, that this will end up in a court of law, but I really have no idea in terms of a timetable as to how that will proceed.
Some of my fellow members of the media here in the Springfield area have questioned whether you did in fact have some knowledge ahead of the document destruction. You have continued to insist that you did not have any prior knowledge. But I have in front of me a copy of Chief Williams' deposition in which he does indicate that your executive assistant, Bill Logan, was in a meeting where some of this document destruction was discussed. Can you comment on that?
I will comment on it, but I think for your listeners it would be interesting to note that that deposition was forwarded to the city of Springfield yesterday, even though the press had it earlier this week. And that the copy that you are looking at is an unsigned copy by Chief Williams. And if you go to the very last page, there is a place where he is to sign that. So number one, whoever distributed that, and I do believe that I do know who did distribute that, has done something unethical. And I would just want to point that out. Now, in terms of the quote-unquote meeting that was taking place, Bill Logan walked into Mr. Cullen's office, and by his account, Mr. Cullen was there, Chief Williams was there, and Deputy Chief Cliff Buescher was there, and they were having a discussion. The discussion primarily focused on the FOIA, or the Freedom of Information Act. He sat there. He listened to part of it, and he left. Now, number one, he was not invited to the meeting. Number two, I didn't know about the meeting, so I did not send him to the meeting. And number three, there was nothing that was said while he was there that would have given him any indication that he should have immediately notified me of what was taking place. And in fact, during the course of that conversation, it was asked when they could meet with me. And he said, well, we'll do it at our normal 2:00 Monday staff meeting. And again, his explanation is there was nothing that was discussed that came to the level of needing immediate attention.
And you have requested an investigation be conducted by the Illinois State Police. I understand, and correct me if I'm wrong, you've not had any contact with them at this point?
The Illinois State Police are conducting an investigation. They have not contacted me personally with regards to that investigation, but the investigation is currently taking place.
Mr. Christian and his attorney have been conducting these depositions, as we mentioned previously. Has your counsel, who's been hired, John Gray Knoll, been doing anything as far as...
One of the things that as you deal with the court system and that the courts really do not care for is when things are tried in public. And when that happens, a lot of misinformation is put out by one side trying to color the situation. And I think that if most people would look at this objectively, that is exactly what is happening in this case.
We want to make sure that some of the things that our listeners are reading and seeing are also explained a little bit. I feel like our listeners are owed a little bit of context as much as we can provide. So having said that, I want to just close the door on this issue. But before I do, just ask about your administration and your outlook. How, if at all, has this impacted your administration and the way that you conduct business at City Hall?
Well, you know, first of all, there is a lot of attention being paid to this, both by myself personally, members of my staff, as well as the general public. And to a certain degree, that is unfortunate because there are a lot of things going on within city government that is not being focused on as a result. Hopefully, when the state police report comes out, it will be a clear report that will be able to outline exactly what happened. And people, rather than talking in terms of rumors and innuendo, will have some facts to be able to deal with, and that we will then move forward. And before we leave this, there's one other point that I want to make, and that is there is something called the client-attorney privilege, which basically means that when we deal with our attorneys in terms of the Corporation Counsel's Office, that any time they would be asked a question by the Illinois State Police or anyone investigating this, they can simply cite and say, I have attorney-client privilege because I was advising my attorney. Now, if I was concerned in terms of something I had done, if I was trying to cover it up, the last thing I would do would be to give up that privilege. I gave up that privilege. I signed that privilege away for the city of Springfield. And that is the second time in the history of the state of Illinois that has ever been done. The first time it was done by Jesse White in the investigation of former Governor George Ryan.
Mr. Mark Cullen, former corporation counsel, is at the center of a lot of the activity that went on. And I want to clarify for our listeners that what you just said about yourself and city employees also applies to him.
Well, that specifically applies to the attorneys that are advising people within city government, so that that includes our entire legal staff.
So Mark Cullen would be, if the state police asked him some questions, would be required to answer under oath?
That's correct.
Okay. I've been speaking with Mayor Mike Houston. You mentioned that the attention that the document destruction issue has garnered in the Springfield area has been detracting or distracting from other city business. What are some of the issues that you feel like our listeners really need to be aware of as pressing, important, and not to deflect attention from something, from a lawsuit that is obviously very important? There's also a legal issue between City Water, Light, and Power and Chatham, for example.
Well, there are a number of issues, and certainly the issue with regards to the money that the Village of Chatham owes City Water, Light, and Power as a result of them prematurely terminating their legal contract is something that we are trying to resolve. We have other issues such as high-speed rail, and you know, we recently received a Tiger grant from the U.S. Department of Transportation. I would point out that number one, that was the only Tiger grant that was given in that particular round in the state of Illinois. I would also point out that there were almost 600 applications totaling $9 billion of request, and they had $474 million to distribute. The city of Springfield got the third largest dollar amount in the entire country in terms of that round. And I think the real important thing is that when we take the $14.4 million that we are getting for the underpass at 10th and the 10th Street tracks and Carpenter, and we couple that with the $8.65 million grant that we were able to get from Governor Quinn and the Illinois Department of Transportation, We now are in a position to really move the project forward. Now, the basic problem that we have is that there are no federal programs that are suddenly going to come up with $315 million, which was the estimated cost in 2010 dollars to do the project. But that is a significant amount of money as we move towards this, and that 14.4 is towards a $22 million project, so that we're really talking about a $30 million commitment towards a $315 million project, which is about 10%. So I think that that really puts us in a very, very good position to move this forward. Certainly, as we look at an alternative water supply here in the city of Springfield, this is an issue that is going to really impact our community for decades to come. And it's something that has been discussed and worked on for a long period of time here in the city of Springfield. And we've gone through the process with the gravel pit where we've had studies done. Those studies are being forwarded to the Army Corps of Engineers and the United States EPA for their review. One of the things I hope to do while I'm in office is to be able to have a decision as to whether or not we can build a second lake here in the city of Springfield, because if we can do it, I believe we should. If we can't do it, then we need to begin to think in terms of what type of alternative water supply we should do and begin the orderly disposal of the property that we have acquired over the years, which is approximately 7,000 acres. So those are our two major issues that face the future of the city of Springfield. We recently passed the 0.5% increase in the city sales tax, which was going to allow us to do an $86.6 million bond issue to redo our streets and sidewalks and some other infrastructure over the next 3 years. We are in the process of putting together a bond issue, which we hope to go to market with right after the first of the year, and to begin that process of rebuilding our streets and sidewalks within the city of Springfield next year. At the same time, we are working with the EPA to set up a program where we plan to borrow $6 million a year each year over the next 10 years to literally overhaul the sewer system within the city of Springfield. All these are things that are going to have a tremendous impact in terms of the future of our community. These are all long-term projects. These are things that are extremely important, and these are things that really need to be focused on and discussed as we move forward.
And as we do talk about municipal government, you know, a lot of our listeners are also interested in what happens on the local level when it comes to politics. And the last three items that you just cited, high-speed rail, the water and the sewer and the roads project, infrastructure as a whole, these are issues that you've told me previously are something that you would like to see through. But you have indicated that you would not like to make any decision one way or the other on reelection until next spring. Is that still where you stand?
That would be my plan at this point, is to sit down and to make a decision as to what I will do in the future. You know, as much as I might like to see some of these projects through, when we start talking about an alternative water supply or doing the 10th Street corridor, there's always the possibility that may not happen within my lifetime.
Well, it may not happen within mine.
I do want to, particularly when we deal with an alternative water supply, have a decision made and be moving in a direction as opposed to what has gone on literally for a period of 40 years.
It is, as I understand, with my limited understanding of the situation, in large part due to the very stringent requirements of the EPA and the Army Corps of Engineers that have really, you know, blocked the applications or slowed that process. Is that correct?
Well, let me rephrase it and give you my answer to the question that you just asked. The real problem has been the city of Springfield in terms of stopping and starting and not having a direction and continuing to move. It is very easy to blame the Army Corps of Engineers and the EPA, but the reality, it has been the city of Springfield that has been the problem in terms of not making a decision and then moving forward with that decision. Once a decision is made, then in fact it is a major problem in terms of trying to move this through with the Army Corps of Engineers and with the EPA. And part of the problem in terms of looking at a city lake, a second lake for the city of Springfield, is I think both of those agencies realize if they give a permit, they will probably go into a long-term legal battle where organizations such as the Sierra Club are going to sue them. So it is not an easy situation to deal with, and I think that's really why it would be important for the city of Springfield to make a decision. And again, first of all, they would have to give us the indication that we can get the permit. And if they do that, my personal belief is we should move forward in that direction. But if they don't, we still need an alternative water supply, and we are still going to have to go through a permitting process. It is going to be long. It is going to be expensive. But at least if they say, no, we have eliminated one option, we are now looking at other options. But again, those are not things that are going to happen overnight. They are going to be a very long, expensive process also.
Well, I find it interesting that you do you know, admit that the city of Springfield over the decades, and you've obviously had a chance as a private citizen, former mayor, private citizen, now mayor, to watch the city over a number of decades and how it has and hasn't taken action on that second lake. But in admitting that the city has had some problems, the issue was just raised by Alderman Corey Jobe, the possibility of an inspector general in city government. Is that something that you would support?
From a conceptually point of view, I certainly would have no problems with an inspector general. I might have a problem in terms of an expenditure of $400,000, which as you begin to weigh things, you say, well, is $400,000 better spent on an office of the inspector general, or is $400,000 better spent adding some additional police officers that would provide protection to the people of the city of Springfield 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, or adding some firefighters or doing something else? We have a limited amount of resources. And one of the differences between being an alderman and being a mayor is that I'm responsible for putting together a budget and balancing a budget. When I came into office, to say that I inherited a mess is an understatement. We have turned the financial condition of the city around. And one of the ways you do that is that you have to say no to things, and you have to be able to make judgments as to the dollars you have and where they are best being spent. And ultimately, as this is debated, that is one of the things that the city council is going to have to look at and make judgments on.
And as a final question, Mayor Houston, absent an office of inspector general that, as you argue, would be expensive, there is in this community a perception, a distrust of city government. And I think that that's where that desire for the inspector general's office comes from. How do you, as mayor, work to, you know, gain back the trust of people that over the past 2 years have seen some things that have gone on and have lost a lot of faith in what's happening?
You know, one of the things that we do try to do is to be transparent, and I understand that members of the city council like to play political games and say, gee, there's secrets out there and this type of thing, but of course they're never responsible for anything. You know, as you look at it and the way I look at it, I've been around this community almost my entire life. One of the things I know is that the one thing I have is my reputation and my word. And I think that when I say that I did not know about this, I did not know about this, and no one can look back in my history and say, well, here, you lied about this or you lied about that. I'm pretty much an open book. I've been around here for a very long period of time, and I think that people have a tendency not to trust government at any level. It really doesn't make any difference whether it's the federal level, the state level, or the local level. But we have tried to be transparent. We've tried to open up the mayor's office that we allow people to come in once a month just to be able to sit down and talk about anything that they want without an appointment. We're more than willing to do these types of shows to try to talk to people, to give them information. But ultimately, what we have to do is to do a better job and help to restore the trust in government that that people should have.
You know, it's all well and good, I suppose, to say that. But where the rubber meets the road, I suppose, is in some of those offices in Municipal Center West and East. Do you feel like the morale is there? Do you feel like the people working under you know where you stand and where things are headed?
I think that for anyone who has worked for government prior to the time that I came into office, they recognized almost immediately overnight the change in the operation of city government and the way we have operated. And I think they appreciate the fact that we operate the way we do in a non-political way. And I think that we've tried to operate government in a good government fashion, trying to remove. You're never going to remove politics 100% from anything, but I think we have done a very, very good job in terms of removing as much of it as we possibly can.
Well, Springfield Mayor Mike Houston, thank you very much for joining us on the program today and shedding some light on some issues that I'm sure our listeners have been curious about and seeking some context. Mr. Mayor, thank you very much for your time.
Peter, you have a great day.